Thank you. 1 Kings 17. You know, it's interesting that every time we go there, or at least when I go there and study Elijah, I see so much more things. You know, there's only one interpretation of the Bible and all the scriptures going through because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. There are many applications, and you're going to find, and I hope that when we read this, you'll see some pretty good applications about what's going on. So why don't we open in a word of prayer, and then we'll read the scriptures and go from there. Father, as we approach your throne, we thank you again for the opportunity to see the beauty of who you are. We see the challenge that you have given us. Father, may we be workers, servers for you. And Father, but to do that, we have to be close to you. So guide our hearts this morning. May you be honored and glorified. May we be edified. May we be challenged. May we be exhorted. So we need your help. So please help us this morning. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Title. Well, this is part four of preparing for the Lord's return, part four. But the title of this section would be Keep on Doing the Work Jesus Left Us to Do. That would be the title. So if we look at 1 Kings 17, starting in verse 7. It says, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee up to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have no cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth forth rain unto the earth. May God bless the reading of his word. I got a 5-point outline, if I could, and in it's actually a 4-point because the outline's one of them. There's a story. Always have a story. Peace I never knew by Janet Perez Eccles. It's a review of the last three parts. It'll go quickly, I trust. And Elijah, Elijah and the Word of God. That would be what we just read, 7-14. Of 1 Kings 17. And then what is our responsibility? Now, I actually have four conclusions, but I don't think I'll have time to give you all four conclusions. So let me talk about the story. It goes along with the account we just read. Her name was Janet, and she's writing it. Janet had been married for about 9 years and living with a husband, loving husband, and two little children. Unexpectedly, as she's sitting on the bed, unexpectedly, tragedy struck her. Just a twinkling of an eye, she received a call from a doctor stating that she would soon be losing her eyesight. Upon receiving the call, she wept bitterly. The doctor stated there was nothing anyone could do. As the months passed, her eyesight became less and less until the morning that she only saw the darkness. Janet did not know the Lord, but she became very angry with him. Her anger spilled over to her family. The darkness revealed the lack of hope, the bitterness that took place. Finally, Janet's husband could not stand Janet anymore, and he asked for a divorce. One afternoon, by the way, when I'm going through this, think about who the unsung hero is in this story. And barring Jesus, we already know he's the hero, but who's the unsung hero? So one afternoon, a friend called and said, we're having a special service at church. Some people are being healed. Janet thought was God was not on her list of those she wanted to visit. However, there was a tiny amount of hope for a miracle. She accepted the friend's invitation. Janet sat by her friend while the Bible verses singing and testimonies poured out toward the congregation, but there was nothing for Janet. No healing, no miracle, no hope. The next week, Janet's friend called again saying, "I'll pick you up." Janet's days at home were getting harder to cope with, so she decided to go. While she sat at the same pew with her friend, Janet heard something that whispered into her broken heart. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Janet thought, seek God first? She was seeking to see again. She was hoping to be normal again, longing to win her husband's love again. Those were her priorities. "God," she cried out in her heart, "how do I seek thee? I'm lost and I'm dying inside. Will you show me?" She listened to the Bible verses and soaked in God's word, and she delighted in his promises. Janet then took hold, a bold step. She invited Jesus into her heart. Janet sought God's kingdom, reading and studying his word. And she was delighted in his promises, and she held on to his promises. Then Janet made a very bold call because she wasn't scared anymore. She wasn't broken anymore. She had Jesus in her heart. So she made a phone call. With humility and dignity in her heart, she called her husband and said, "I won't force you to stay. I have someone who will take care of me and watch over our son, someone who will never leave me. I'm not afraid of being blind anymore. You're free to go." Well, Janet's husband didn't leave. Jesus didn't give what Janet wanted. He gave Janet what she needed. She gave Janet peace she never knew and the hope she never had. Other than Jesus, who was that unsung hero? Do you know? I'll talk about it later. It's been on my heart, and I trust on yours as we go through this time preparing for the Lord's return, and I hope you're all preparing for it, because there's not much time left, whatever that time is. We don't know. Could be any second. Could be years. We covered part one back in April 30th when we talked, and it was about Abraham's visit with three people. Actually, they were heavenly beings, Jesus Christ in Christophanes, and two angels. We learned about being hospitable. We talked about discernment. And we talked about what the practicality of that was in hospitality. Abraham watched, he served, and he prayed. By the way, when I go through this, there's going to be 12 words that we're going to hold on to, I trust. The second time we talked about preparing for the Lord's return, we talked about Elijah and the Word of God, part A. God blesses Elijah's obedience, and that was chapter 17, 1 Kings 17, 1 through 7. God blesses Elijah's obedience. Our life is hidden in Christ, we covered, looking for the hope we covered. And so, discernment, our life in Christ, serving God, watching for Him, the hope, the living hope that we have, that was on May 14th. June 25th, we covered part three, and that was the second part. 1 Kings 17, 1 through 9, we stayed in the same section. Elijah and the Word of God, part B. Biblical definition of encouragement. We talked about the encouragement versus discouragement. And we talked about encouraging one another. These are important features when we're searching out what it means to be preparing for the Lord's return. And He could come. And so if I look at this in a summary, Abraham was hospitable and had good discernment. That's what we should have. Abraham watched, served, and prayed. We should. Elijah was separated himself from idolatry. Elijah's happiness, protection, and guidance was in God. Elijah's treasure was Elohim, the Almighty God, the plural, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And His word. Elijah's hope was in Elohim. Elijah's encouragement was in Elohim and His word. So here are the 12 words. I'm going to go fairly quickly. You'll hear them again. Hospitable, discernment, watch, serve, pray, separation, happiness, protection, guidance, treasure, hope, encouragement. 12 words. Now, 12 in the numerology in Scripture is God's divine government. When we get to heaven, in the new heaven and the new earth, these 12 words will play a major part in our life in the future. In the millennium, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These 12 words will continue to play a life. There are more words than this. Words I left out were words like faith, trust. The number 12 again, think about what we should be doing. And think about this woman who had no hope. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then hope came in her life. She had wrong priorities until she reached the right priority, the kingdom of heaven and all His righteousness. So looking at what we've just read, going back to 1 Kings, remember what happened, the background. Elijah told Ahab, it's not going to rain until the Lord brings it back. He didn't give him a time. And so he was told by God to run to the brook of Cherith. Every day of Elijah's life, he's watching for the word of God. He receives hope by ravens dropping food. But he's watching something. He's watching the brook day by day dry up. He's alone. He's by himself. And you know what can happen when you do not have fellowship with other people. You get lonely very quickly. I imagine he talked to the ravens. But three things happened where Elijah knew he had to move from Cherith. Three things were happening. One, the word of the Lord came unto him, which is most important. He was watching and waiting for the word of the Lord. We don't have to watch and wait. We have the word of God. The water was gone. The brook had dried up. He could not get a glass of water or a handful of water. The third thing was ravens did not come and drop food anymore. So he knew he had to leave. Think about that, beloved. Do you know you have to leave this earth? And if you know that, are you prepared to leave this earth? The one constant thing was God's care for him. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Little scriptures like that we give to Sunday school. Little scriptures like that do we hold dear in our heart that God cares for us, even when it seems that God is so silent. Deuteronomy 31 and 8, Moses gave the law of God. He said, And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. If Elijah knew this particular scripture, and it's hard to say if he did know this, because they didn't have Bibles like we have them today, he would not be dismayed. He would not be discouraged if he had this particular verse. But we don't know what he had. All we know is that he had been communicated by God to him, by the ravens to him, by the brook Cherith to him, and the raven stopped, and the brook dried up. Elijah must needs is to reflect on all he learned at the brook Cherith. What we have to learn is everything that we have been studying, whether it be nature, or whether it be the scriptures, whether it be the Word of God. Last week we heard about loving the Word of God. This is where it's all at, beloved. 12 words mentioned earlier will come into play with Elijah, where Elijah would be going, because the Word of God came to him. These are the 12 words again. Watch for God's purpose in sending him. That's what he had to watch for. Serve God and his people. Third one was praying continually. Fourth, separating from idolatry and the world's influence. Why does he have to separate? Very important. When he was at the brook Cherith, he was in home territory, his territory. Seraphith is in Sidon, and that's enemy territory. And they believed in false idols. They had false gods. So the fourth one was separating from idolatry and the world's influences. He would be exposed. The fifth one was happiness in serving God and seeing what God does with him, what God does with you. Sixth one was protection from the darkness around him. Can you relate to any of these so far? Seven, guidance from God directing Elijah's steps. Eight, treasure of God staying close to him. God was Elijah's treasure in his heart. The ninth one was hope that he carries in his heart and that he can offer it to others. Beloved, we carry hope in our heart. If there is a quickness in our step, a smile on our face, a word of God in our thoughts, in our mouth, in presenting, we carry hope. 10 was encouragement. The encouragement Elijah receives from God, and that encouragement is contagious. It spreads to others. The 11th one was discernment in dealing with people. God puts before us. How many times have you prayed when some stranger or some other person, even Christians, are before you and you have to discern where they're coming from? And God will help you. And then hospitality he will receive. You see, Elijah was told that this woman, this widow woman, is going to sustain him. I find this interesting that God didn't tell Elijah what he was going to be dealing with. He didn't say anything other than a widow woman is going to sustain him. So in verse 9 it says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Again, we said that Zarephath is enemy territory. The Philistines would be glad to kill Elijah. Ahab and Jezebel would be, his own people would be glad to kill Elijah. Now, the commentators say, and I don't have any proof on this, that at the brook Cherith, he was there, they say, about a year. Now, the drought would last 3.5 years. So if you're a mathematician or in grade school, you will find that most likely in Cherith is he will spend 2.5 years, but it says he will dwell there. That means he's going to live there. And he's going to live in enemy territory, but he's not hiding. He's exposing himself. Dwell there again for maybe 2.5 years. But also notice that God commanded a widow woman. God, somewhere in time past, while Elijah was at the brook Cherith, God approached, however he approaches, this widow woman. There's a drought, there's a famine that's going on. This woman has a want. The want is, I need food. The food is running out. She had a barrel of meal. She had oil, and there's hardly anything left. And if it was only a year that had passed, think about this. When God promises you something, and it doesn't come at the time you want it, do you get discouraged with God? He's never late. He's never early. He's always right on his time. And we need to get on his time. What can we learn from Elijah's experience? Simply Romans 5, 8, and 9 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That was verse 8. Verse 9 says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Like the widow woman, God approached her. She has, whether she realized it or not, she has been given a promise and a hope. And she hasn't realized it yet. But he didn't go to his people. He went outside his people and taking care of Elijah. Philippians 3, 18 and 19. It says in verse 18, for many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19 says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. And what is happening in that particular verse, if we look at Elijah, it's simply Elijah was now a pilgrim or a stranger on this earth, and he was in enemy territory. How would you feel if that was all given to you? You know, we are privileged people. We have the Holy Spirit in us. He didn't have the Holy Spirit in him. At times, he would have the Holy Spirit maybe come upon him, but not in him. And we're privileged people because we can hold on to the Word of God. We can contain hope and encouragement as we look to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 talks about encouragement and comfort in God. Philippians 3:20 plays a part. For our conversation or citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also we look for the Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, do you realize that we are citizens of heaven already? We sit in heavenly places with Christ, Ephesians 1. Our Lord is in heaven, and he dwells in our heart. Someone once said, a little bit of faith brings you to heaven. A whole lot of faith brings heaven to you. We, like Elijah, must embrace the importance of God and God's promises. And his promises will be encouragement. And that encouragement is a constant step of hope that we have every day of our life. But we're in enemy territory, beloved. Nothing can happen to us unless God allows it. And if he allows it, he allows it for one particular reason. maybe two or three. The one reason is to increase our faith. We go through struggles and trials to increase our faith and realize we depend on Him in all things. Look at verse 10, the first half of 1 Kings 17:10. I call it 10a. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. I walk the dogs a lot of time in the afternoon. But all these storms that have come through, I have to pick up stick after stick after stick. And I'm thinking, didn't we used to play a game, pick up sticks? And I don't like picking up sticks. Do you know what work Jesus gave us to do? So Elijah gets up. And he goes to Zarephath. He knows it's enemy territory. Elijah was obedient without questioning God's command to go to enemy territory. Do we question God's command? Or we just avoid it? Or do we do it? Elijah here is a type of Christ. He's going to enemy territory. Think about what Christ did. He died for us while we were yet sinners. He came to enemy territory to save us, to pull us out of this darkness. Philippians 2:8 saying, and being found in fashion as a man, he, that's Christ, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So when Elijah comes to the gate of the city, he's looking for something. He's looking for this woman, this widow woman. Now, this is hard. Why is this hard? Remember, famine and drought. There's been wars. Widows, there are plenty of widows. Matter of fact, unless you looked at Luke 4, chapter 4, verse 25 and 26, you wouldn't even understand this. But this opens the door. It says in Luke 4:25, but I tell you of truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. Verse 26, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. See, how does he know which woman is the widow that's going to sustain him? God's silence regarding which woman Elijah was to meet suggests two spiritual lessons. One, lesson one, faith. Believing in God, reliance on God, trusting God, or having confidence in God. You put all that under the definition of faith. Again, believing in God, reliance on God, trusting God, or having confidence in God. He's got to find this widow woman. Proverbs 3, 5, and 7. You probably know this by heart. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know, it's interesting that if you do these things, somehow, some way, God leads you into the right path. How he does that? Is it the word of God that talks to your heart? Do you hear an audible word? It just happens. It's not by coincidence. It's by God's choice. And he leads you in the right pathway. Elijah was given a command with limited knowledge. How many times have we been given a command with limited knowledge? Elijah's faith was being tested and strengthened. Obedience to God's word will strengthen your faith, always will, and you will increase blessings. Think about what I just said and throw it to what's coming up in August 16th, 17th, 18th, Vacation Bible School. We don't know how many workers we're going to have. We don't know how many children we're going to have. If we have 125 workers like this other place or 85 like Branford had, let me tell you something, beloved. He will supply all the workers. How? I don't know. If it's three people, six people, He'll supply all the workers. Praise God. Lesson two is discernment. According to Westminster's Dictionary of Theological Terms, discernment in the Bible is a process of assessing and evaluating, trying to determine God's will in a particular situation for one's life direction. How many times have we tried to figure out God's will in our life? Do we know it? Wisdom and discernment are closely related to each other in the Bible. Discernment is the process of making careful distinctions between righteousness and unrighteousness, between truth and untruth, between error and what is right, knowing the will of God in any situation. Everything we face, we should have discernment. And that means we seek God. Those people, those saints with the gift of discernment have an advantage. They just know right away. Ephesians 5 and 6 says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." And that's talking about belief versus unbelief. So you see right away, we got lessons that Elijah, he's got limited knowledge and he's got to move forward. In verses 10 and 11, 10b and 11, it says, "And he called to her." Now, imagine there's a lot of widows out there, and there could be just her out there. Doesn't matter. He's outside the gate of Zarephath. And he calls out and he says, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And she was going to fetch it. He called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." The woman was going to fetch the water. And remember, there's a drought. Whatever water she had was for her and her son. And she was ready to give it up. Remember, there could have been a time lapse of a whole year before this widow woman, because she was looking for the God of Israel. This man from that God from Israel told her is coming, that she had to sustain, and she can't even sustain her own son. They're going to lift up sticks and make a meal and then die. That was no hope. By the way, often water, singular, is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, by the way. When you read your scriptures, if you see waters with a plural, that can be trouble. But water, singular, is often a picture or a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Jesus requesting water from the Samaritan. So we're seeing Elijah as a Christ type here. Jesus asked the Samaritan, which they don't have any dealings with, the Jews and with the Samaritans, because they're half-breeds. And he asked water. Elijah requesting water from a Gentile, an enemy. Both Jesus and Elijah are ministering by way of evangelizing to the lost soul. He's a Christ type. We should be a Christ type. Jesus is the bread of life. Our responsibility is to keep on doing the work Jesus left us to do. You remember at the woman at the well, John chapter 4, Jesus is sitting, talking to the woman at the well. The woman leaves, figuring, "I found him, the Messiah, he's here." She goes to the town of Sychar, and they all come out to visit. Meanwhile, he's sitting by himself. Along came the disciples. All 12 of them went out to get a McDonald's hamburger for him. And what does he say? He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And then the disciples are questioning each other and saying, "Did somebody give him something to eat while we were gone?" This is all paraphrased. In verse 4, John chapter 4, 35 and 36, Jesus says, "Say not ye, there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white already for harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life. But both he and that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And then he says several other places, our responsibility is to be witnesses and evangelists for Christ and present the gospel of Christ. We have been entrusted with that. So Elijah is a type of Christ. He doesn't know. He's testing the woman. The woman has no hope. The woman's ready to die. Look at 1 Kings 17, verse 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. Oh, look at that right away. She now is picking up something. As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. Some people say, and I have never searched, I have tried to search it out, but I don't believe it because the Bible doesn't say it, that the sticks were poison. I don't know. But I tried to see where that commentator came up with that, and I can't find it. This widow knew about the Lord because the Lord approached her. She did not know of the Lord. She had not received the Lord as her Lord. She was one that had idols, false gods. Yet she would be obedient to a strange Lord. By the way, in the King James Bible, and I imagine a few other Bibles, the Lord is all capitals, all L, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is Yahweh, Jehovah, the one who redeems. The widow took an inventory. If you notice the inventory that she takes, a handful of meal, a little oil and a cruse, and two sticks. I believe there is no words in the Bible that are not important. They're all important. I suggest that there are three items or a picture of Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. The meal is the bread to be make the bread. Jesus is the bread of life, John 6:35. The oil is symbolic of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. John 19:30 says, when Jesus therefore had received vinegar, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The two sticks are a symbol of the cross where Christ's blood redeemed you and I. And so I see a beautiful sight here of what this woman was doing, and she didn't even understand. And I don't believe Elijah understood the significance of these words. The widow made two very important observations regarding the Lord, whether she understood it or not. The widow used the word Lord, the Redeemer. And the second thing is the widow recognized Elijah's God was alive, as the Lord thy God liveth. And she recognized it as not a false idol. This is a live God. Two items the widow did not have. She did not have a cake or the bread, and she had no hope. By the way, one of the saddest verses in the Bible to me was 1 Thessalonians 4:13. And it says, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Every time I read that, my heart breaks for the people that have rejected Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their life. Another sad thing here that I see is when a Christian chooses not to break bread and remember the Lord because they have any other activity ahead of them, their priorities are wrong. 1 Corinthians 11:26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And I see so many Christians, and I'm talking Christians, beloved, will put other things in front of the breaking of bread. It's a desire of the Almighty God. He did it before he went to the cross. He did it after he came back from the cross. And he will do it constantly in the glories of heaven where we'll see him. Quickly going to 1 Kings 17, verses 13 and 14. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. How can she not fear? Was there a glimmer of hope in her when he said, fetch me? Did she connect it that this is the man that the Lord God that's alive of Israel has told me about? Never says in Scripture what the conversation was between the widow woman and God. But can you imagine the hope that she had was that this man would show up somewhere, sometime, but that hope decreases as the brook Cherith decreases. How long, God, before you come and present yourself to me? And sometimes, especially in America, we are very impatient people. We have instant everything. The Lord knows that Phyllis knows that I'm very patient. And that's not true. So he says, fear not. Elijah's presence and words gave comfort and encouragement for a widow. Then he says, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel. God had introduced himself to the widow before she met Elijah, and now Elijah's introducing God again. The connection has been made. All that time. And time seems very unimportant when all of a sudden God shows up. Where was this man, Elijah, that the Lord of Israel that was coming? That was no hope. She now has the glimmer of hope. Romans 8, 24 and 25 says, fear, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is not seen is not hope. That is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. And beloved, patience brings forth hope. Hope is the confident expectation. It 100% will happen. Biblical hope is a firm assurance about things unseen and still in the future, and they will happen. Look at the promises of God throughout the Bible. They're yours, they're mine. It can be for the world too, if only they believe. You know what else hope does? It's the anchor of our soul. Hebrews 6, 18 and 19 says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Beloved, how many times have we taken the promise of God, put it into our hearts at a very difficult time of our life, and that calms us, that steadies us. It's the anchor of our soul. It's the anchor to the ship that we carry. When the waves are rough, we stay steady because we have that hope. Three promises in verse 14. When it says, 14 says, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day of the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Who knew it would be another 2.5 years? Certainly Elijah didn't, and the widow woman didn't. What are the three promises? One, the barrel of meal will not ever empty. Neither shall the cruse of oil empty. You're saved until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. The other promise, the third promise, is there's rain coming. There's rain coming. All right. I got 4 minutes to finish this. I got four So you do it 1 minute for each one. You know, it's like saying, let me make a long story short. And what did I just do? Made it longer, right? 12 words mentioned earlier will come into play with Elijah and what we should be doing. Number one, know God's purpose and watch for his opportunity. It's the word watch. Number two, serve God and his people. Wherever he brings you, whatever opportunity comes before you, serve his people. And by the way, do we serve the people of the world? And my answer to that is absolutely. Why? You don't know if they're his people yet. They may be chosen before the foundation of the world, just like you and I were. So serve, but serve with scripture. Serve with giving Christ the honor. Number three, praying continually. Beloved, as we wait for the Lord, one of the things he would want us to do is be in constant communication with him. Praying continually. Pray without ceasing, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5. Number four would be stay separated from idolatry and the world's influences. That may sound easy, but it's difficult. Stay separated. That's holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. We are separated from the world's influences, separated unto God to serve God and his people. Be holy as Jesus was holy. Number five, rejoice and be happy in serving God and seeing what he does with you. It's not you doing it. It's God using you. God doesn't need our ability. He wants our availability. And if I spend time with him, he'll spend time with me. How do I know that? It says in James 4:8, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. That's 8a, by the way. But be happy in doing it. Just don't be grumbling. You know, I got to do VBS this week, and I got to take all that time, and stop it. I have to catch myself many times. When I'm writing a devotion, that dog of mine has to go out 20 times. If I'm not writing a devotion, that dog will lay there all the time. As soon as I pick up the computer, she picks me up and says, let's go. And she doesn't have to go. Don't grumble, rejoice. Be happy in it. That's what I have to tell me. Number six, realize you are protected from the darkness that's in this world. We're protected. Will bad things happen? Absolutely. Will I suffer? Yes, I will. Will you suffer? Yes, you will. Especially if you present Christ, if you walk in Christ's steps, if you live Christ. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Yes, you will suffer because they'll be on your case, the world. But you are the light and you are the salt of this world. Seven, study God's word for continued, here it is, guidance. He will direct your steps. You want to see a lot of guidance in the word of God? Go to Psalm 119, read it all, memorize it. It's only 3 or 4 pages. Number eight is treasure. Treasure of God by staying close to him. Is God the treasure of your heart? Stay close to him. Realize every word he says is for your benefit and my benefit. Number nine is offer hope by living in hope. You can't offer hope if you don't have hope. You can't sell scripture or present scripture so that the others believe if you don't believe. So the hope, we have to live in the hope. Number 10 is receive your encouragement from God and give it to others. Encouragement is the next one. There's so many times I hear people saying, I get so discouraged. Why? It seems like I'm getting beat up all the time. I look for a Christian to encourage me, and there's no one around. Elijah was, we'll say, approximately somewhere between 6 months and 1 year by himself. What was his encouragement? Ravens don't talk. They just drop bread or bring you bread. Well, they squawk. Stay encouraged in God. Watch what he does. Unless I perceived to see the goodness of God, I would have been discouraged unless I perceived to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Psalm 27, verse 13. Number 11, request discernment from God in dealing with people he puts before you. Many times when a person comes before me, I have to do certain things like a silent prayer as they talk to me, and I say, Lord, be my patience. Be my love. Give me words. I don't say it out loud, but I'm in constant communication when people are in front of me so that he, the Lord, gets all the honor and gets all the glory, not me. It's not about us, beloved. He must increase and I must decrease. Last one, 12. Show hospitality. You know, show hospitality. But you know who you show hospitality to first? God. Show hospitality to God. You're serving God by being available to him. I have to stop here. And I have three more conclusions, but I'm not going to give them. I can't. Time. So look at what Elijah has done. He's learned everything he's learned at the brook Cherith, and he's brought it to enemy territory. Everything you've learned in Scripture, you have brought to this enemy territory. But remember, although there is darkness of the world, and there's the prince and power of the air, which is not God, that's the evil one, he's the creator of this world. And if you look at he's the creator, this world is beautiful. It's even going to be more beautiful in the millennium. And that beauty in the millennium will be enhanced tremendously in the new heaven and the new earth and the holy new Jerusalem. Understand that God has directed us to do his work. So we are to keep on doing the work Jesus left us to do until he calls us home. Until then, beloved, encourage one another. Walk in hope. Live for Christ. And let's close in prayer. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to see what you have given us in Scripture. May we not just take it and throw it out, but that we take it and adhere to it, embrace it, so that we can honor you in our words and our actions. May us be a Christ type. May we live in hope. And may we offer hope. Father, help us to love you more today than we did yesterday. And then, Father, we ask that you bless each and every one that is either watching this on Zoom, Facebook, wherever, or being here in attendance. May you bless them according to the riches of your grace. Guide our pathways, Lord. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.